Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
You know what's amazing? Even though we haven't had a ton of championships here as New York sports fans, you know, for most of our lifetimes, we have been treated to some amazing players. You think about it, whether it's Frazier, Reed, they did deliver championships, obviously. Leach and Mess and Patrick Ewing and Tom Seaver and Lawrence Taylor. I'm jumping around, obviously. Mm-hmm. Last night, and, you know, I've long surmised this, but, jeez, it just smacked me in the head last night watching Aaron Judge. I don't care who you bring up. Aaron Judge is, for me, he's the best New York athlete that I've ever seen. Well, so what does that mean? It means this. Nobody in New York has ever been better at their job doing what they're supposed to do than Aaron Judge is. Aaron Judge goes out there every night, and he looks like a video game. And the crazy thing, Sal, he's getting better. As he's getting older, he's getting more refined. He's getting more polished in his approach. Aaron Judge, you know, we didn't see Babe Ruth, so we'll give a little genuflection to Babe and keep him atop the mountain, I guess. Maybe Lou Gehrig as well. These eyes, been watching sports since the late 70s as a little kid, early 80s as an engaged fan, and then obviously a nutball sports fan. Aaron Judge is the best New York athlete I have ever seen, and I'm not even sure that it's close at this point.
You know, I've been saying for a while, I never thought of it that way, I've been saying he's just the best baseball player I've ever seen. I've been saying that for a long time here. Bonds was that before, but what we're watching with Judge is just remarkable. And I don't know if we give him enough credit, which is fun to do today then, off of the 300 homers. But, and think about this too. He stayed healthy. That's always been the question mark with Judge. Well, he could get banged up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, starting with the preseason this year, spring training, he's banged up. You know, he's going to get hurt eventually. Well, that has not been the case. And really, there's only one thing left for Judge to do. And that's not even hit in the postseason, because I don't care if he doesn't hit in the postseason. As long as the Yankees win a World Series, that's just going to cement his legacy. But I don't know if I could fight you off. I never thought that he's the best New York sports athlete or the best that I've ever seen. Ewing, Messier.
He's so much better than Patrick Ewing. It's not even close.
Well, right, when you think about it, when you say it the way that you say it,
uh-huh.
You know, is Ewing the best basketball player that I've ever seen? No. Is Messier the best hockey player I've ever seen? I mean, maybe in the conversation. And again, hard to judge that. You know, there's nobody, LT, you could argue.
Yeah, Brodeur may be the best goalie ever saw. I'm just jumping around here.
Okay, fair enough. Right, you know, some of those guys.
Lawrence Taylor.
But Judge is the best. Right, so Lawrence Taylor, the best.
To me, it's Judge and Taylor. Those are the two.
Aaron Judge is definitively the best baseball player that I've ever seen.
He's insane. I mean, you know, it's so easy to, and we do it, and we get wrapped in, you know, what's wrong with this and what's wrong with that, and why didn't the Yankees do more at the trade deadline? Why didn't the Mets do more? What's going to happen with Pete's contract, Soto's contract, all the things that we hit? It is very easy to gloss over greatness, because greatness is not confrontational.
Right.
You know, greatness is not going to generate clicks.
Right.
Greatness is not going to spark debate. I mean, well, it could, based on the way I present it today, in terms of my opinion, the greatest New York athlete I've ever seen. But it's like, oh, yeah, this guy's great. And then, boom, let's reach for the thing that's a little bit more combustible. I really hope, whether you're 10 or 9 like my little guy, just falling in love with these sports, and my daughter, or, you know, 51 like me, or 45, 44 like you, and beyond, I hope that you are watching this man attack his craft and understand and enjoy what he's doing. We might not ever see again. And that's not hyperbolic. What he is just ridiculous.
Do you think that it loses a little luster because of the steroid era?
No, because, I think, go ahead, no, finish I'm your sorry, thought. Because, I want to make sure I know where you go.
I just feel like where you look at the baseball reference page and see all the highlight, you know, the bold, the black, and you look at it and say, well, whoever it may be, Bonds or whatever, and you just see the loaded juice numbers. And to a certain part of me, that's all I knew. I grew up watching that baseball era. And it got to a certain point where I was like, you just can't take any of it seriously. And Judge is putting up those type of numbers and doing it cleanly. And I understand that there's a part that should say, yeah, well, you should appreciate it even more,
yep.
Which is true. We should. But I feel like because baseball itself, the sport, like, ruined that part of it, that it almost means less. So when somebody does go nuts and it's 62 home runs or, you know, on pace again for close to 60, whatever it may be for Judge,
mm-hmm.
you know, it almost loses its luster because the baseball numbers don't mean as much as they once did.
That's interesting. I actually see it the exact opposite way, though. I think that it amplifies it. So look at this. Aaron Judge last night is now 7 away from his third 50th home run season.
Unbelievable.
Okay. Even more unbelievable, you know who the other guys are? A-Rod, Juicehead, Sosa, Juicehead, Bonds, Juicehead, Babe Ruth.
Right.
I mean, so I think when you start to delineate and further contextualize the explosion of the numbers, I think it makes his accomplishments even greater.
Now, do you think that people who saw... You didn't see Seaver in his prime, right?
No, okay, no, right. I saw Seaver at the end.
Right, okay, same thing with me. So you think people that saw Seaver in his prime or Mickey Mantle would agree that Judge is better at his job than those guys?
Well, I think about this.
I mean, I don't know because I don't know either. I know the numbers. I've seen the highlights, obviously. Yeah. Like, it seems impossible to me to be better than Seaver was at what he did.
Sandy Koufax.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, right there. Right, but now, again, subjective, lefty-righty. Koufax started very slow.
And then,
he didn't have the longevity, so there's a debate there. But Koufax at his apex was better than Seaver.
And then we're all
right there.
We hear about Mantle and Mays. And we also, though, know that it was a different time. And is it more difficult to do what those guys did then or what Judge is doing now? I think you could probably make arguments either way,
mm-hmm.
whether it's, you know, the lack of depth in competition way back then.
Lefty and bullpen specialists.
Yeah, right.
No minorities.
I mean,
do we know that Josh Gibson? Let me ask something. So the thing about Babe Ruth is the name that is always going to come up.
Yeah.
Got it. Babe Ruth is the, along with Mays and Aaron and a few other titans of the game, Babe Ruth for us as New York baseball fans, it's the first name you heard growing up, right? Now, I don't know this to be true, but to be fair to the situation and the circumstances in which Babe Ruth played, you know, so now I'm sure you saw this a couple of months ago. They decided to include the Negro League stats.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
And there was some debate there. I'm fine with it. But do we know for sure? We don't. It's a rhetorical question. Do we know for sure that Josh Gibson, who was a catcher, had like 800 home runs, they said, although they weren't able to chronicle all the Negro League stats. So it's a little hit or miss with that. Do we know for sure that Josh Gibson would have had more home runs than Babe Ruth? We don't know that.
Right.
But what we do know is that when Aaron Judge steps into the batter's box, I don't care what Ohtani does.
Right.
I don't care what Griffey Jr. did. I don't care what Mike Trout did. I don't care what A-Rod did on the juice. I don't care what Reggie did in the 70s. There is nobody doing what this man is doing. Respect it, which I know you do, but really appreciate it because this is once in a lifetime stuff.
It's like we are watching the modern day Babe Ruth or Mickey Mantle, and it's not just the home runs. That's the obvious thing. That's the big thing. Okay, 300 home runs, fastest ever in the sport to get to 300 home runs by a long
Ralph
shot.
Kiner, the right, great announcer. We love Ralph. Yeah.
Coming off the board, of course. And you look at what else he does, though.
I know.
Not only a leader and the captain, but moves in the outfield. Obviously a terrific defensive player. He hits for a high average. Like, we heard about the legends of Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle and Mays. We are watching one in his prime. I mean, you throw in Soto. I know we did that yesterday where we focused on Soto, but goodness gracious, we're watching the greatest baseball player I've ever seen in my life, maybe the greatest New York athlete that we've ever seen in our lifetimes. It is unbelievable what Aaron Judge is doing on a nightly basis.
888-808-1019, BT and Sal, Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. Nice job by the Mets bouncing back, putting those punk A's in their place. We'll get to them later. Before we get to these calls, let me just give you, and I don't like to inundate people with stats because it doesn't always translate on the radio, so I condensed it. And if you want to dive deeper into this on your own, by all means, go for it. So, to me, the greatest baseball season that I ever saw, Mattingly 85 MVP,
okay.
As a New York baseball
better than
fan.
New York.
Right. So just to back up my statement about the Judge being the best, you know, New York athlete, but this is specific to baseball. So Don Mattingly, 85 MVP, he really should have won it in 86, and a few things in 86 were better than 85, but I went to 85 because he won it. His OPS plus, Don Mattingly was 156, all right? You know what Judge's is right now? It's 224.
That's ridiculous. Blowing out of the water.
224. A-Rod, who was all hopped up on Lord knows what in 2007 and beyond and before, when he won the MVP, his OPS plus was 176. Judge, 224. Insanity. Insanity, Sal.
All his numbers, almost all his numbers. Total bases down a little bit. Run score down a little bit for now, although we might pass that too.
Who talking knows? About what? Judge from what?
2022 versus now.
Go ahead.
Think about that. 2022, he had 62 home runs, breaking the American League record and should be the record, period.
For sure.
But his number, he's having a better year this year.
I know.
He may not get to 62.
Total bases,
all
OPS
of it, higher
plus.
Average, OPS,
yes, sir.
All of it slugging.
I know. Hits, runs.
A better season than his record-breaking season in 60, the MVP season in 2022.
That says a lot. That
How's
says
that
it
possible?
All. Imagine if he actually hit in April.
Yeah.
Well, he'd hit 80 home runs. This guy's making it look like a video game. All right, let's get to you guys here. 888-808-1019 to get BT and Sound on the fan. Let's get to Chris first up. In Belleville, New Jersey. Chris, what's cooking there, brother? How are you?
What's up, gentlemen? How are you?
Hi, Chris.
We're good.
So
I was
trying to call you yesterday to ask you about Judge, Stan, and Soto possibly all hitting 500 home runs, but just focusing on Judge, 32 years old, 300 home runs, based on his age, his body type, his past injuries, do you think he's getting to 500 home
runs? Yes.
I think it's a great question.
I think it's an easy one.
No, but think about it, BT. His age, the injury stuff, and his, like, he's got to hit now 200 more home runs.
He will.
I mean, I don't think it's as easy as you think. I'm not saying he's not going to do it. I want to really give it some thought because I haven't until you just brought that up. We probably talked about this maybe before the season or at some point in the offseason, but I would assume he would get it, but I don't think it's a layup because of where he's at with his age and his body type and the, you know, history of being injured.
I mean, listen, obviously nothing's a layup. Mattingly, I just talked about Mattingly's back went out. Don Mattingly was Stan Musial before he got hurt, and then, of course, he turned into basically a 285 hitter with, you know, 9 home runs and a slap hitter. I get it. You don't want to take too much of Dwight Gooden, Daryl Strawberry, drugs, booze, derailed, understood. But let's just, and I don't want to get too wrapped up in the numbers, but push this forward just a little bit. Let's say he finishes with 15 more home runs the rest of the year. So next year, he enters the season with 315. Let's say he has a bad season, and he gets 40.
Right.
He's already past 350.
Right.
He's definitely getting a 5. What are you talking about?
Right, so I'm just trying to think of what you would need here. You know, guys who don't juice start to decline, let's say 35, 36, 37. If you give him 50 home runs a year for the next 4 years...
I'm not even giving him 50. I'm giving him 40. And that's his ultra...
Okay, but then you're going to need
that's
more.
That's 200. No, 40 times... Oh, you for the next 4 years?
Well,
all right, so 160 home runs right there. Boom, 40 times 4, 160.
Right, but that's 4 years. That gets him to 36.
Well, that gets him to 460. Oh, at age 30. He's getting there.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, of all the checklist of things that I'm not sure about, that is the one that I don't really have to think much about.
Do you think he's a Hall of Famer already?
100%.
No matter what.
Like, he's going to get the MVP this year. Altuve, you know, who the Astros. He should have 3 MVPs.
Right, but if he didn't do anything the rest of his career.
Hall of Fame.
Okay.
No doubt.
I don't know if I would say that yet. I mean, probably.
Yeah,
he's still only 32, and you want to see more bold on the baseball reference page. Like, he has another. I mean, look, if he has another year or two like this, you're talking about not only Hall of Fame, but you're talking about. Oh, he's
top
he's
10, top 12 player of all time. It doesn't sound outlandish to say that suddenly. I mean,
we talk about Jeter and Mo.
Jeter.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm saying. Like, he's cracking that or going to start to crack the Mantle, Gehrig, Ruth territory.
It is really insane. And he's such a great teammate and such a good guy.
He's got to win a World Series, though.
Yeah, that would be nice. Chris on Long Island. Chris, a little choppy. Let's go, buddy.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
All right, Chris.
So I hear you guys talking about Judge, the most dominant athlete in New York history or whatever. Well, I agree. He's up there. Would you put him over Mo?
I put him over everybody. He's the best. He's the best I've ever seen.
You know, but to his point, Mariano was the best at his position ever.
Yeah, Chris, I got to listen. There's a little too much feedback. Sorry, buddy.
Thanks for the call, Chris.
Yeah, thank you very much. Go ahead, Sal.
By a long shot. Like, nobody would dispute Mariano.
Yeah, who's number two? Well, Tom Eckersley. I mean, Bruce Sutter. I mean, it's a big drop. I get that.
Right. Lee Smith, he's a compiler. No,
yeah.
I still think what Judge is doing is just even more special. Now, I understand the argument. You could bring Mariano into the conversation. It's different for me for a, especially a relief pitcher.
I agree.
Than it is for Judge.
And this is going to sound like a denigration, which it's not, because Mariano is Mariano. Easier to get a save or easier to hit a home run?
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, yeah, but in all those World Series, they'll
no,
have to mean
I
something.
No, I know.
To dominate the way that Mariano did all those years.
Yeah.
You know, you could say it was more impactful or more important to have Mariano than Judge. I don't know, though, if you put the two careers side by side, if you could say that a relief pitcher, whoever it is, even the greatest of all time in Mariano and as dominant as he was, is better than what Judge has done. Breaking records.
I would agree with that. If you think about this, now again, entirely subjective, but you know, you're just sitting down, shooting the breeze, having a couple of the pops, barbecue, whatever, or at the bar. Who's the greatest player of all time? Like, then you start rifling names. You're not getting to a closer. You're going to hear Willie Mays and Babe Ruth and Hank Aaron and Ted Williams and Ty Cobb and Griffey and A-Rod, if you're okay with the juice, and Barry Bonds, and then, you know, Albert Pujols, maybe. Miggy is a right-handed hitter, and so on and so forth. Then maybe you get to some starting pitchers. Maybe get a Koufax. Maybe you get a Seaver. Maybe you get a Pedro. Now, I'm not saying that that's right, that you omit a position that for that long, but that's generally what people do. BT and Sal, inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. How about Charlie out in Bethpage? Go ahead, Charlie. What's happening?
Boys, how are you? Great conversation.
Thanks, man.
Nothing to take away from it. Judge is just an amazing. I love baseball.
Yep.
I hate the Yankees, but I love watching Soto and him this year. It's a great thing to watch people pitch around these guys. But Tom Seaver, I was a kid growing up in Brooklyn. He was my guy who pitched on some terrible crap Mets teams and would just not even get the run support and still win games 1-0, 2-1, because he was the most incredible pitcher to watch. Now, maybe I'm biased being a Mets fan.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say Kuzma and Matlack were the top pitchers, but they weren't in the level of Seaver. That's just me being a Mets fan. But Tom Seaver in his day was like watching Doc Gooden in his first couple of years.
You know, fair enough. I think of Ben, and thank you for the call, Charlie.
Thanks,
and maybe there's some biasness there. And I did bring up Seaver's name when we just talk about New York athletes. So you're thinking about the greatest New York athletes of all time. We started talking about that we've ever seen, obviously, our lifetime. Hard to go back. But I would be curious the comparisons to people who watched Mantle every day in his prime to what they think about Judge. And I know there's always going to be the sentiment.
Ask Francesa.
Yeah, well, that was the guy I was thinking
about.
I know,
Mantle's his guy.
He loved Mantle, and you know, talked about him all the time. And I know that, like Mike, other New York Yankee fans and you know Mantle fans, or whatever, always are going to favor their guy.
Sure,
the same way that we would with our guys. But if you take the emotion and the sentiment out of it, is what Judge is doing on a nightly basis. Like, I can't imagine Mantle being better than this. I can't imagine anybody being better than this.
That's the point.
How could you be better? Yeah. So is what Judge doing, is this what it was like to watch Mickey Mantle on his prime?
It's a really interesting way to look at it. I think that the toughest thing to do as a sports fan, and this goes along the lines of what Charlie just said, bringing up Tom Seaver. And by the way, I made sure I threw Tom Seaver's name into the conversation very early. I'd respect Tom certainly on that list. Is to detach yourself from sentimentality. It's the toughest thing, because if you think about the root of our fandom, it goes back to our formative years as kids, whether you know, young boy, young girl. So for me, you know, to so easily say, you know, hey Donnie, I love you, but step aside, it ain't close. You know, at least I'm able to do that. A little tough for position player versus pitcher. I get that. The Judge Seaver thing's different. You know, Brodeur, goalie, Willis Reed, Frazier. There's no right or wrong answer. What I'm saying is, and I like the way you frame it, if you don't think he's the best you've ever seen, even take Lawrence Taylor on his best Sunday against whomever, destroying an offensive line and getting 3 or 4 sacks and a forced fumble and a touchdown, right? Was he better? Like, did he look better than this? And for me, the answer is, I think it's impossible to.
Yeah. How could you look any better?
I don't know.
You throw him a strike, he's going to match it. Even if you don't throw him a strike, he's going to match it.
Like last night, it was out of the strike zone.
Yeah.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This happened. You talked about it on The Fan.
There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25 by the score of 20-19.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, BT and Sal back on the Fan at 1029. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us as we just basically watch in awe the nightly heroics from one Aaron Judge. It is absolutely insane.
Should I text Mike? What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely text him.
I'm always get afraid. Then he's not going to get back to me.
Get afraid.
What if he just leaves me hanging? I don't like that. The fear of rejection.
You brought that up before, by the way, the fear of rejection going back to some of the dating scene.
Not just Mike, exactly.
Who the hell scarred you that bad?
I've always had
What was her name?
God. Wasn't just one.
All
right, here we go. What do I say? Is Judge better than Mantle? That's it. I'm going to keep it simple.
You can maybe elaborate. Say, hey, we're talking about this on the show. We value your opinion. You're a Mantle guy. And, you know, BT just said, or, you know, whatever.
Or do I say it definitively? Judge is better than Mantle. And then get the LOL. No, I'm going to ask him. I want to ask his opinion.
If you say it definitively, it might compel him to respond and bite back.
Is Judge better than Mantle?
Sent
it. Is Judge better than Mantle? All right, we'll see if he responds.
We will see. Maybe that is, I know he's not hopping on these shows. He just doesn't want to do it. He's done with, you know, he's done with the Fan. I get it, but I understand he's got his own thing going on. But geez, if he can't hop on away into the waters of Mantle and Judge, then he's really packed up shop. I think he will.
I don't know if he discussed it on his podcast. Hopefully he texts me back and we'll have an answer. But he would be the guy that I respect the most on it, obviously, because he's a legend, but because he loved Mantle. He saw Mantle in his prime, and he would be the guy to compare the two.
Well, he would be historically, but would he be to separate his fandom? That's like the one guy that he still is just forever connected
to. Which I get. You're right, because we always have that one guy. Like, for me, you know, whether it's Ewing or Starks or Piazza or Ordonez, like, there are certain guys that could just do no wrong in my mind.
Mattingly for me, Mullen, Ewing.
But, I mean, you'd have to be ignorant. Like, as much as I love Mike Piazza, come on, Aaron Judge blows him out of the water. And for the people who thought that Pete Alonso was even on the level of Aaron Judge, like, it's laughable. I actually heard you, I think, when I was out, I was driving around my mother, we were listening to you, and a caller called up and said that, I think that was one of the days, unless we were doing it together and my memory's just shot, but somebody was trying to compare Alonso to Judge, and like, come on.
That goes back to about 2 years ago with the contract stuff. What is that? You know, when it started to be positioned, you know, and again, some people did it the right way. Like, Alonso's the Mets version of Judge, meaning homegrown, prolific home run hitter. And by the way, when that conversation first came up, while it seems incredibly like erroneous now to even think about that, even though Alonso was terrific last night, Judge has gotten exponentially better. Pete's taken a step back.
He's gotten worse, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So
I still want to know I'd be curious to know the numbers. Wasn't there a time where, and recently I thought, even going into this year, where Pete, since he came into the league, had more home runs than anybody?
I believe he still does.
2019,
He still does, sure. Right. He still does.
But think about that. Even in Judge's injured years, he's putting up monster numbers.
Yeah.
You know, 2020 was a bad year, but
what did he play? 50? How many?
44 games.
Yeah, 44.
Seven homers.
60. All right, so he played. Hold on. So he played 7 home runs in
2019
games.
Would be 7 home runs. Oh wait, I'm sorry, I'm looking up the wrong guy. What am I?
Yeah.
I had Ohtani's numbers up there. I had Ohtani.
DJ LeMahieu.
I had Ohtani's numbers up there. Like, what the hell is this? What was I saying now? Judge in 2020. He had 9 homers.
All right, so.
And he only played 28 games.
That's right, exactly.
Right.
So you think about it. Let's round 28 up to 30. We'll go 30, 60, 90, 120. So that's 4. And how many home runs did he have?
Yeah.
So that's 9, 18, 20. So he had 36 home runs. It's still on pace for 45 home
runs. That's what I'm saying. Even in a bad year where he played, 106 games last year, he had 37 home runs.
I mean, it really is amazing.
27 in 112 games in 2018. And then in 2019, same thing, 27 homers in 102 games.
He's the best New York athlete I've seen. And that is what I said to start the show.
You think that's more what powerful? I believe. Than the best baseball player you've ever seen?
I think they're two different conversations.
Is he the best baseball player you've ever seen? Which one would mean more? And then is he, like, for me, he's the best baseball player I've ever seen, which I feel like is, I know in New York we value the New York athlete, but I feel like saying the best baseball player you've ever seen.
I don't know that I can say that he was better than Early Griffey. I don't know that I could say that.
Now, what makes Griffey better than Judge?
Better fielder. Okay, and Judge is good in center, and he's really good in right. But then, I mean, come on, think about Griffey at age 22, 23, scaling the fence.
But then couldn't Mantle then be better because he was a great fielder as well? Like,
yeah, but now
running and throwing.
Yeah, and I know Mantle
switch
got...
Switch hitter.
Mm-hmm, also dropped down bunts, and Mantle got down to first base inside of 4 seconds. He was a blur. I mean, but and this is where you just lean on people like Francesa,
who saw it.
And some grainy footage. Are you telling me that, and my gut says no, that Mickey Mantle made more difficult plays in the outfield than Ken Griffey Jr.?
You're saying Griffey Jr. was better than Mantle?
I'm saying as a defender, yes.
I got to look up Griffey Jr. Yeah, he was a great defender, but he also was always hurt.
Not always. Yeah. Not the first seven, eight, 9 years
I loved Griffey Jr., but I also loved him because I think it was a thing as a kid.
Well,
when I was growing up at 10 years old, Griffey Jr. rookie cards were the thing. Like,
yeah, but
that's
hold on, Sal. As much as we can, and again, this is not...
Look at the bold for Griffey. He had 4 years where he led the league in home runs. That's
and he didn't really get 4 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not trying to minimize it, but when we're talking about the greatest of all time...
Well, and that's what happens with these discussions.
And also,
we
to be
almost
fair
denigrate players just to prop up the exploits of others. And that's not the point. That's not the... But you have to... Yeah, you want to go to Apple, you got to point out who was better at certain things. To me, like, Griffey didn't really get hurt till he ran into the wall and he shattered his wrist. Yeah. And then the hamstrings and the constant, you know, the knee issues with the Reds.
Well,
then
after,
he just broke down.
After the age of...
29, 30?
30.
Okay.
And we'll just... Judge is doing this at 32.
Yeah.
Right? So Griffey, at 31, he played 111 games, started to fall off. 22 homers. 2002, he played 70 games.
Mm.
Following you, 53 games. Following you, 83 games. And he started to pick it back up a little bit in 2005 at age 35. Played 128 games, had 35 homers. And Griffey had a long career, but I don't know.
No steroids. You know,
well,
who
that's
knows
the
if
thing.
It would have healed quicker.
So it's not even fair when I look at his page, baseball reference page, and say, well, he only led the league in... home runs 4 years, but he was going up against all steroid guys.
And that's where your point earlier about, you know, the distortion of numbers here, because we've become so almost desensitized. Oh, yeah, you know, Sosa, even though we know it's not real, Sosa hit three, you know, what do you have, 60?
Right.
You
can't even look at it.
How many home runs
did
Sammy Sosa even hit
right.
that 1 year? 65?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm forgetting the number.
Right.
It's all wacky. But let's get back to the calls. But I'll say this, too, about the Mantle thing. Well, if we're talking about Judge and Mantle and then obviously Griffey, because you weave in the greatest baseball player of all time versus the greatest New York athlete of all time, we can't even definitively sit here and say that Mickey Mantle was better than Willie Mays, and they played the same city.
Right.
Think about that. Let me get, how about Neil and Freehold with BT and Sal on the Fan? What's going on, Neil?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Two points. You just hit on Mays. I think you're missing the boat. I think the better player... was all-around player was Willie Mays. And let's not forget that he lost a couple of years also to the service.
Yep.
Otherwise, he would have challenged Root's record for homers at the time.
Yeah. Neil, real quick before you make your next point, I didn't say that, and not that it's a big deal, but I didn't say that I thought Mantle, and I didn't see him, but I didn't say that Mantle was better than Mays. I've always said, anytime it comes up, like a conversation with this kind of a depth, I'm gonna lean on my dad's eyes. And from the time I can remember or hear anything, my dad always said Willie Mays was the best player he's ever seen. And I trust him.
Yeah, I think 5'2 player that was named after him, honestly. Also, Judge and Soto. Everything you're saying about Judge is 100% true. He is the greatest player right now at this time. And
well, it's not
honestly,
even close. It's not even close right now. And for people that talk about Ohtani, look at Ohtani's numbers in comparison to Judge. No, we won't.
I know.
It's not even close.
It's not really
like I get
close.
That Ohtani can pitch, it's still
when he's healthy.
Yeah, right.
Okay, but I think that is the number one reason why Juan Soto's not going to re-sign with the Yankees.
Why?
I don't think he wants to do second fiddle to Judge. Not that there's any animosity. Whatever that word is.
I got you. Animosity.
I think he would rather go play Crosstown again with the Mets.
Yeah. Neil, let me ask you a question. Now, outside of hope, which I also get, what makes you come to that conclusion? Because if you watch any New York Yankee postgame show, I mean, they're going to hurt. They're going to pull their backs out bowing at the other guy.
Yeah.
I mean, all Aaron Judge does is say that Soto's better.
You're right. But, you know, you're doing that, you know, now. But you know, when he signed for 10 years and he's making $60 million or whatever it may be, I think Soto, to market himself better instead of playing in Judge's shadow, would be going head-to-head with Judge across town, honestly. Then again, I'm a Mets fan.
Yeah, I got you. You know, I got you.
But I think he couldn't would tell. Rather go head-to-head against Judge. I didn't hear that. Say that again.
We couldn't tell you were a Mets fan. Thank you for the call.
Unclear. Thank you, pal. All right, that actually does open up. It's funny. Something I wanted to get into coming up next year on the Fan. BT and Sal. So, not so much about like this rivalry because it's the exact opposite. Can you justify, can you really, truly justify paying Juan Soto $200 million more than Judge? Can you do that?
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Number 300 for judging. Time for the Wendy's Yankees Turning Point of the Game contest. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the Yankees. First one to correctly identify last night's turning point in Chicago. Give us a buzz, 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. And you receive two pairs of tickets to a 2024 Yankees regular season game. But it's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan. It is BT and Sal here. It's 1047. We'll get back to the calls, the Judge stuff, which is just a nightly show that to me is unparalleled in my lifetime as a New York sports fan. 888-808-1019. And we may or may not have gotten a response.
We did. We did get a response from the big guy.
Can I guess the tone?
Yes. Just for those of you who are just joining us, I texted Francesa before because who better to ask than him about the greatness of Aaron Judge? So I said, I texted Mike F., is Judge better than Mantle?
Okay. Before you read the contents of the text and his response, I am going to guess that it was a short but sweet response and very dismissive of even broaching such a dumb question.
There was a one-word answer.
Idiot?
No.
So that's all he wrote. That's all he wrote. Mike getting real economical with his words these days, huh?
Is Judge better than Mantle? No. Hey, that says it all.
Yeah, well, for him it does. Yeah, doesn't mean he's right.
But, no, well, I mean, it's subjective. We could all have our opinion on it, but we asked the authority on it. He saw Mantle. Now, I don't know how much of that is sentiment. I'm sure there's a part that maybe, you know, like sometimes we don't even realize that it's just the sentiment that's attached to it. Whoever it may be, we used the examples before, but I also believe that he really believes that. I don't think that this is just because he grew up watching Mantle and always loves him.
I don't know. Like, no. I don't know about that. I mean, there's nothing. Think about all the times Mike referenced Mickey and his affinity for Mantle. That doesn't go away. If anything, that's embellished even more over time.
But there's also a reason why.
No, I understood.
Because the guy was the greatest.
Well, he wasn't better than Willie Mays. Well, he wasn't the greatest. I mean, but even the greatest in New York.
Yeah, well, that's also subjective.
I don't know. I mean, I guess there's always an element of subjectivity. So let me try to refute the great Francesa with something that is not subjective. Yeah. It's called stats.
Right.
All right. So let me just look at one thing before we get back to these calls. And I got to ask you a serious question about Soto and how it ties into Judge.
Okay.
Based on yesterday's conversation, we'll get to that coming up. BT and Sal and all the fans. So in trying to quantify this season and stating that this is the best I've ever seen a New York athlete look in anything, including Lawrence Taylor, all right, I wanted to go back to Mattingly's MVP season, which pales grossly in comparison to Judge.
Right.
A-Rod's 07 season hopped up on steroids, which pales grossly in comparison to Judge. And Judge. And I looked at a number, and it's not the all-encompassing deciding factor, but I'm going to latch on to OPS Plus just for this conference. Now, I don't know what Mickey Mantle's best OPS Plus season.
I pulled up his stats here. I got Mantle page.
I don't know. I could say this out loud and look like a complete dope. Mickey Mantle's best OPS Plus season was in, I would guess it would have been 1956 when he won. 1956 when it was 210.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Aaron Judge, 224. Wow. Why don't you text that, Francesca?
You think Mike cares about it? You know, here's the difference. Mantle did it. Led the league in OPS plus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 times. Jeez. OPS, dude. Career OPS of 977.
Yeah.
Over 1,000. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I mean, my God.
That is pretty crazy.
Like, you don't. Obviously, you have to watch them. Like, that's just the point. You can't let numbers tell everything. But when you look at these numbers, without even watching the player, you look at the page and you look at these numbers, it's an oh, my God.
Oh, there's no question. There's no question. And there's no right or wrong. It's
now,
just
Judge
the
is certainly a better home run hitter.
Yes.
I would assume, based on what I've heard, Mantle was a better fielder.
I don't know about that.
And runner.
Yeah, more speed. Mickey could run.
Yes, I'm saying. Like, so I would assume he was a better fielder. Judge is good, but Mantle was.
Well, Judge is a plus-plus right fielder. How are we judging him? No, I know Mickey was in center until, you know,
Judge
he hurt his knee on the train.
Mantle was a it's different. 20-time All-Star. I mean, jeez.
No, I know.
Triple Crown, 20-time All-Star, 7 World Series, Gold Glove. I mean, look, we don't need to go over the rest of Mickey
Mantle. No, that's a little bit too antiquated. But I know.
This makes me, whether it's right or wrong, obviously it's Mike's opinion, but I value Mike's opinion on a lot of things, especially this.
I do, too.
It does make me think, not less of Judge, but okay, like, it does put it a little bit in perspective.
Tap the brakes.
Yeah, exactly. As dominant and as great as it is, and he may be the best baseball player I've ever seen, it still is not to the level of Mickey Mantle or Mays or Babe Ruth.
Okay. Listen, I'm happy you got back to us here. So
me too.
Maybe next time he texts us, he can give us the right answer. All right, so I'm kidding. I'm messing around, Mike. I like Mike. All right. So let me throw this at you here. The conversation yesterday was a really good one, and we purposely split it up. The first hour pertained to the Yankees,
yes,
and the second hour pertained all to the Mets, because too often we kind of cross wires and Soto and, you know, what he means for the Yankees and how you positioned it, and I agree, right, how imperative it is that Cohen lands Soto this year. We wanted to separate. All right. So based on some of those conversations and the ultimate value of his contract, what Cohen might offer, what the Yankees will do, to me, there's a couple of questions here. Number one, and these are basic, but until I get to the third one. Number one, will the Yankees be willing to pay him? I believe the answer is yes, and I believe that the cost is almost without limit. I believe this is the one time that Hal will do whatever it takes to retain him and retain somebody or get somebody. I could be wrong. That's my opinion. Number two, if the money matches up, is he staying? My answer is absolutely yes. I feel that. I don't know if I'm right. I feel that.
Right.
Here's the third thing. And we've debated those two points.
Right.
This is the third one, which we've never debated. And I'm going to ask you, can they justify paying Juan Soto $200 million more, maybe $250, than Aaron Judge?
Well, they're going to have to.
But can you justify
And how about this? So less than even the total value, because Soto's much younger, he's going to get a longer contract, so you know it's going to be bigger. But what about the per year? You're going to be able to justify paying somebody else more per year, not to mention significantly more overall than the best player in the sport?
It's tricky.
And now, they didn't want to do it with Yamamoto, with Cole. Right?
That's true. They were aware of that.
I think they have to. So it's not even like, can they justify it? Will they justify it? They have to. It's a non-starter. He's getting more than $40 million a year. He's getting more than $360. Like, way more. It's not even in the ballpark. I'm sure Judge will be happy for Soto, but also, there's got to be a part of Judge that's like, yeah, this is great, and I know that he's younger, but I'm the man. It's my team.
At least
per year, he should be making more.
Well, think about this. There's a chance he doubles him up.
Not per year.
In totality.
50? Yeah. More than that per year?
I think it starts at 50.
Yeah, minimum per year.
50. Right. 50.
Right, and Judge is at 40 per year, right?
I mean, imagine if Soto gets 800. He doubles him up. Doubles him up?
I know, well.
That's tough to justify.
It's age, it's timing. Age more than anything else, I think.
Yeah. And when you're up and it's your time to get paid, you know, things change. I mean, think about quarterback market in the NFL. You know, Eli was the highest paid quarterback for a minute. Wasn't the best. Was never the best, but you know, despite the two championships and great respect for Eli.
Feels like it gets reset every year, every other year.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
This is different, though.
Listen, C.J. Stroud comes along and, you know, 4 years, you're going to blow Joe Burrow out of the water. And then Herbert, it's the way it goes.
The six-year difference. Judge was, you know, coming off of year age 30. Soto's 25.
I know.
And Judge going into year 31, so I guess 5-year difference there.
I'm not saying there's no context there, but when you actually strip away the context, which makes sense and does shape.
You think Judge would care about it? I think that's the biggest question.
No.
Right.
That's why I think he's so special.
That's why I think that they can. I don't believe that that's going to be an issue.
I don't either. But boy, it does seem pretty demented in the baseball sense.
But it's not right. But it's not even close because, like, it's not even a conversation because if they are to retain him, it's going to have to be significantly more.
Hey, Judge, you're going to let, and he's not going to let his ego get in the way. But you're going to let your ego get in the way. Great. Yes. So you hit Verdugo. You retain him. Right. He's batting number seven. He's going to bat number two next year. Good luck with that. All right. Let's get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. Let me get. I'm going to hold off on the calls. I'm going to come back and really, really rip through these. I want to get to Alonzo's night last night. I got a point on Pete Alonzo. Okay. We'll do the BT and Sal baseball card World Series a little later. We got you till 2.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Number 300 for judging. Time for the Wendy's Yankees Turning Point of the Game contest. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the Yankees. First one to correctly identify last night's turning point in Chicago. Give us a buzz, 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. And you receive two pairs of tickets to a 2024 Yankees regular season game. But it's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan. It is BT and Sal here. It's 1047. We'll get back to the calls, the Judge stuff, which is just a nightly show that to me is unparalleled in my lifetime as a New York sports fan. 888-808-1019. And we may or may not have gotten a response.
We did. We did get a response from the big guy.
Can I guess the tone?
Yes. Just for those of you who are just joining us, I texted Francesa before because who better to ask than him about the greatness of Aaron Judge? So I said, I texted Mike. Mike F., is Judge better than Mantle?
Okay. Before you read the contents of the text and his response, I am going to guess that it was a short but sweet response and very dismissive of even broaching such a dumb question.
There was a one-word answer.
Idiot?
No.
That's all he wrote. That's all he wrote. Mike getting real economical with his words these days, huh?
Is Judge better than Mantle? No. Hey, that says it all.
Yeah, well, for him it does. Doesn't mean he's right.
But, no, well, I mean, it's subjective. I mean, we could all have our opinion on it, but we asked the authority on it. He saw Mantle. Now, I don't know how much of that is sentiment. I'm sure there's a part that maybe, you know, like sometimes we don't even realize that it's just the sentiment that's attached to it. Whoever it may be, we used the examples before, but I also believe that he really believes that. I don't think that this is just because he grew up watching Mantle and always loves him.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, there's nothing. Think about all the times Mike referenced Mickey and his affinity for Mantle. That doesn't go away. If anything, that's embellished more over time.
But there's also a reason why.
No, I understood.
Because the guy was the greatest.
Well, he wasn't better than Willie Mays. Well, he wasn't the greatest. I mean, but even the greatest in New York.
Yeah, well, that's also subjective.
I don't know. I mean, I guess there's always an element of subjectivity, so let me try to refute the great Francesa with something that is not subjective. Yeah. It's called stats.
Right.
All right, so let me just look at one thing before we get back to these calls, and I got to ask you a serious question about Soto and how it ties into Judge.
Okay.
Based on yesterday's conversation, we'll get to that coming up. BT and Sal on the Fan. So, in trying to quantify this season and stating that this is the best I've ever seen a New York athlete look in anything, including Lawrence Taylor, all right, I wanted to go back to Mattingly's MVP season, which pales grossly in comparison to Judge.
Right.
A-Rod's 07 season hopped up on steroids, which pales grossly in comparison to Judge. And Judge. And I looked at a number, and it's not the all-encompassing deciding factor, but I'm going to latch on to OPS Plus just for this conference. Now, I don't know what Mickey Mantle's best OPS Plus season.
I pulled up his stats here. I got Mantle page.
I don't know. I could say this out loud and look like a complete dope. Mickey Mantle's best OPS plus season was in, I would guess it would have been 1956 when he won. Yeah, 1956 when it was 210.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Aaron Judge, 224.
Wow.
Why don't you text that, Francesco?
Oh, you think Mike cares about it? Yeah, here's the difference. Mantle did it. Led the league in OPS plus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 times.
Jeez.
OPS, dude. Career OPS of 977.
Yeah.
Over 1,000. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I mean, my God.
That is pretty crazy.
But you don't. Obviously, you have to watch them. Like, that's just the point. You can't let numbers tell everything. But when you look at these numbers, without even watching the player, you look at the page and you look at these numbers, it's an oh, my God.
Oh, there's no question. There's no question. And there's no right or wrong. It's
now,
just
Judge
the
is certainly a better home run hitter.
Yes.
I would assume, based on what I've heard, Mantle was a better fielder.
I don't know about that.
And runner.
Yeah, more speed. Mickey could run.
Yes, I'm saying. So I would assume he was a better fielder. Judge is good, but Mantle was.
Well, Judge is a plus-plus right fielder. How are we judging him? No, I know Mickey was in center until, you know, he hurt his knee on the train.
Mantle was a I know it's different. 20-time All-Star. I mean, jeez.
No, I know.
Triple Crown, 20-time All-Star, 7 World Series, Gold Glove. I mean, look, we don't need to go over the resume.
No, that's a little bit too antiquated. But I know.
This makes me, whether it's right or wrong, obviously it's Mike's opinion, but I value Mike's opinion on a lot of things, especially this.
I do, too.
It does make me think, not less of Judge, but okay, like it does put it a little bit in perspective.
Tap the brakes.
Yeah, exactly. As dominant and as great as it is, and he may be the best baseball player I've ever seen, it still is not to the level of Mickey Mantle or Mays or
okay.
Babe Ruth.
Okay. Listen, I'm happy you got back to us here. So
me too.
Maybe next time he texts us, he can give us the right answer. All right, so I'm messing around. Mike, I like Mike. All right. So let me throw this at you here. The conversation yesterday was a really good one, and we purposely split it up. The first hour pertained to the Yankees,
yes,
and the second hour pertained all to the Mets, because too often we kind of cross wires and Soto and, you know, what he means for the Yankees and how you positioned it, and I agree,
right,
and how imperative it is that Cohen lands Soto this year. We wanted to separate. All right. So based on some of those conversations and the ultimate value of his contract, what Cohen might offer, what the Yankees will do, to me, there's a couple of questions here. Number one, and these are basic, but until I get to the third one. Number one, will the Yankees be willing to pay him? I believe the answer is yes, and I believe that the cost is almost without limit. I believe this is the one time that Hal will do whatever it takes to retain him and retain somebody or get somebody. I could be wrong. That's my opinion. Number two, if the money matches up, is he staying? My answer is absolutely yes. I feel that. I don't know if I'm right. I feel that.
Right.
Here's the third thing. And we've debated those two points.
Right.
This is the third one, which we've never debated. And I'm going to ask you. Can they justify paying Juan Soto $200 million more? Maybe $250 than Aaron Judge?
Well, they're going to have to.
But can you justify
And how about this? So less than even the total value, because Soto's much younger, he's going to get a longer contract, so you know it's going to be bigger. But what about the per year? You're going to be able to justify paying somebody else more per year, not to mention significantly more overall than the best player in the sport?
It's tricky.
And now, they didn't want to do it with Yamamoto,
mm-hmm,
with Cole,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
right?
That's true. They were aware of that.
I think they have to. So it's not even like, can they justify it? Will they justify it? They have to. It's a non-starter. He's getting more than $40 million a year. He's getting more than $360 million. Like, way more. It's not even in the ballpark. I'm sure Judge will be happy for Soto, but also, there's got to be a part of Judge. It's like, yeah, this is great, and I know he's younger, but I'm the man. It's my team.
At least
per year, he should be making more.
Well, think about this. There's a chance he doubles him up.
Not per year.
In totality.
50? Yeah. More than that per year?
I think it starts at 50.
Yeah, minimum per year.
50.
Right.
50.
Right, and Judge's at 40 per year, right?
I mean, imagine if Soto gets 800. He doubles him up. Doubles him up?
I know, well.
It's
timing. Age more than anything else, I think.
Yeah. And when you're up and it's your time to get paid, you know, things change. I mean, think about quarterback market in the NFL. You know, Eli was the highest paid quarterback for a minute. Wasn't the best. Was never the best, but you know, despite the two championships and great respect for Eli.
Feels like it gets reset every year,
it does.
Every other year.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
This and is then, different, though.
Listen, C.J. Stroud comes along and, you know, 4 years, you're going to blow Joe Burrow out of the water. And then Herbert, it's the way it goes.
It's a six-year difference. Judge was, you know, coming off of year age 30. Soto's 25.
I know.
And Judge going into year 31, so I guess a five-year difference there.
I'm not saying there's no context there, but when you actually strip away the context, which makes sense and does shape.
You think Judge would care about it? I think that's the biggest question.
No.
Right.
That's why I think he's so special.
That's why I think that they can. I don't believe that that's going to be an issue.
I don't either. But boy, it does seem pretty demented in the baseball sense.
But it's not right. But it's not even close because, like, it's not even a conversation because if they are to retain him,
yeah,
it's going to have to be significantly
yeah
more.
Hey, Judge, you're going to let, and he's not going to let his ego get in the way, but you're going to let your ego get in the way? Great. Guess who's, you hit Verdugo, you retain him. He's batting number seven. He's going to bat number two next year. Good luck with that. All right, let's get back to the calls. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the fan. Let me get, I'm going to hold off on the calls. I'm going to come back and really, really rip through these. I want to get to Alonzo's night last night. I got a point on Pete Alonzo.
Okay.
We'll do the BT and Sal baseball card World Series a little later. We got you till 2.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.